I am Heather Hadley, and just wanted to explain to you how it came up with talking about determining the best search input engine for your output. When we first implemented Flare in our organization about 4 years ago, we just went with out-of-the-box Flare search for our search. And, you know, it was fine. It worked well for us. I was always a little curious about how, you know, Google search would work with our projects, but never made that leap. It was always, you know, a back burner project that we'd like to experiment, not. And then this last year, when Flare announced Elasticsearch as an option, I was really curious. I had worked with Elasticsearch with my company and then the company before, where we had incorporated it into our software so I knew about Elasticsearch's powerful searching. So I decided to bite the bullet, and we took the data from our projects and went and tested them in a real-world environment to see what would work for us and what not. Now, I know throughout this conference, I've been so excited to talk to different people and how they're using Flare and how they're outputting it for their company. I've found such a wide variety of use cases. So, you know, as we're going through the presentation, you know, just, you know, think about the pros and cons. And, of course, what works for my organization may not work with your organization. There's not a one-size-fit-all. Also, because there are third-party options for Flare, for a search that you can purchase for Flare, I don't cover those. They are out there. What I cover is the primary ones that are built in kind of native to Flare, which is Flare's own search, Google search, and Elasticsearch. And we'll go over there. So there are other options if you don't think any of these are best fit for you. So I want to go through some of the pros overall, some of the, and this will be high level, pros and cons of each option and how it worked for us. Okay, the first one is, you know, the basic out of the box MadCap search. One of the benefits that we found is it's really easy to set up. When we implemented Flare, we had a lot of Flare newbies. This was not an issue. Another thing that I like about Flare search is you can have it out in the public and, you know, have the option of searching while out in the wild. You can also keep it local. So it's, you know, behind a firewall. You're not dependent upon talking to the outside for that. This would be a real benefit if you have to keep it local. The other thing with MadCap Flare search is that it respects the inherent Flare structures. So if you have a project that uses index words, and if you have a project that uses glossary terms, your Flare search will prioritize those. And out of the three engines, it's the only one that respects and will push those terms to the top of your search for your user. Another thing that I really like about Flare search is that you can add a synonym file, which I was not aware until I started doing a deep dive, which is if your users type in, you know, I want to look at this widget, and you call it a WASIT, you can tell your users, well, hey, here's the research results for the WASIT. And so that's a nice feature that they have. Also, when doing search with Flare and the outputs, very fast search results. Because Flare, when it as it's building and publishing your project, it indexes all your content. So when you open up your output, it's all immediately indexed. Now let's talk about some of the cons of MadCap search. First of all, if you have multiple outputs, it will not be able to search all the output across all the outputs. It will only search the output that you have open at the time. Another con with a MadCap search is that it only searches and indexes your HTML output. It doesn't search and index PDFs or docs. Now, if that is for doing a client-based output, if you are doing server-based output, you do have the ability to be able to search non-HTML files. But again, that's with your implementation. The standard client, you're not going to have that. Another big issue with search is it is dependent upon the input that you get from your user. If your user fat fingers a term, well, it doesn't know to return the correct term, which is a problem, especially now that with other search engines being more intuitive, more predictive in their search, that's a little bit of a problem. Also, if your output is to mobile devices, there have been some performance issues that have been reported on those. So it's, in summary, it's basic, it's great, it's not as global as other search engine options. Now let's go to the big one, Google, and the pros of Google search. Out of all the search engines I'm talking about today, this is the only one that is a verb. So because Google's been around and people use it for 20 years, when your users approach your help systems and use it with Google search, you're going to not have any sort of learning curve. They're going to be very comfortable with the search. With Google, you can also index PDFs, docs, as well as HTML files. So if you have that, a strong point with Google is because you can have autocomplete results. And Google's pretty okay because it's using that vast engine of input that is gathered from billions and billions and billions of hits, you know, over the last 20 years. It's pretty good at predicting results so it can get to your users to where they need to go. Also, if you have your output on a mobile device, it's pretty good. It's pretty mobile friendly. Now, here are the cons of Google search. The output must be available publicly in order for Google to index it. You can't hide it or lock it behind a firewall. This may be a problem. I've been in lots of organizations, and don't ask me why, but they like to keep their help locked down. I think they're afraid that if it gets out in the open, that competitors will go and figure out their features and replicate them, which is silly because, of course, your competitors are just going to go buy your software and reverse engineer it. It's a lot easier than going through your help. And then there's options where even you have to have it locked down. I was with an organization that did computer forensic software. And in order for its diagnostics, it could not talk to the outside world at all. And so we had to make sure that our help was in a batch file with the rest of the software as it was installed, because that user just absolutely could not talk to the web. They were completely... So Google search would have been really bad for that situation. Another problem with Google search is that it may take weeks to index all your pages. So, for example, we submitted our help to Google search to be indexed about 628 pages. So it was okay. It was not a super huge project. And after 2 weeks, Google had indexed 361 of them. And that, for us to be able to sit there and wait to make sure initially that Google has gone through, sent its spiders through, combed all our data, and make sure to index it, was a real problem for us. Now, because the way Google, with their algorithms, prioritizes your data, and for example, of how long it's lived out there, the longer it's out in the wild, the faster the indexing. So after that initial index, it will get better at indexing all your data. But if you're concerned, if you need to get something out there now, if you're pushing a lot of updates to your outputs and constantly rebuilding them, this may be a problem. Another big issue that I have with Google search is you will probably get ads in your search results, almost guaranteed. You've probably all gone to and done your search in Google and come up with all sorts of odd things. When we were testing our help system with this, on some terms that we were searching for, we actually got ads for our competitors, which is a big problem. We certainly don't want to direct our users to different people. And the final con that we've found is because you don't have control over Google, you can't customize the autocomplete results. I know many of you have seen terrible, terrible autocomplete results when you type in the can I do, and then it will bring up everything from, you know, plucking an emu to, you know, trying to kill your wife and hide the body. You know, that type of stuff you really just don't want in your help system. And I've gone through and done, you know, gone and dived in the search rabbit holes, but where in your help system, you want people to be focused on what to get, and that can be a big problem. I didn't talk about the prerequisites for Flare because that's pretty self-evident, like I said, it's internal, but I will talk about the prerequisites for Google, and then again with Elasticsearch. Just some things that you need to be aware of. There's not a whole lot of prerequisites for using Google, and it's pretty easy to set up. You do have to make sure that you are using a top nav or side nav skin. It has to be frameless. Generally, this is not a problem for most people as we're adapting and making our content frameless. You also need to have a Google account, whether you use your corporation's Google account or your own personal one. Again, not a problem. You do have to set it up. You do configure it a little bit in Flare, and you configure it in Google. Thankfully, the documentation is really clear. It is fairly easy to implement, and any, you know, savvy user can go ahead and implement it. So it shouldn't be a big pain point for your team. Okay, next, we're going to talk about Elasticsearch. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Elasticsearch, it is an open source enterprise-level search engine. And we, like I said before, I have it in use in our own software at our organization because of its power to index millions of records and get great results. And Elasticsearch combines a lot of the power that you can get with Google search, but you can do some controlling like you can with Flare search. Now, when I was running all these tests and when I proposed this, this was before Flare announced and pushed their 2019 release, which has some Elasticsearch enhancements. However, those enhancements, they did some issues where you can sort displayed columns and you can view micro content. Shouldn't affect, you know, the basics of the search that we're going over to today. Pardon me, it just probably just enhances it more. One great benefit with Elasticsearch is you can put it behind a firewall. So if you need to have your help system protected, not out in the wild, you can do that. Elasticsearch is very powerful at doing partial word and fuzzy matching on your searches, and we'll go over that a little bit more and dive in just how Elasticsearch does that. Most file types are included in the search, and Flare has built a nice little administrator portal with Elasticsearch where you can get your analytics. It's really friendly, really nice, so you're not having to go and purchase, like, analytics, you know, for example, like from Adobe or whatnot. Also, Elasticsearch is mobile-friendly, and it's great at autocomplete and predictive search. Now, let's go into the cons of Elasticsearch. When I was setting this up, you have to have a Microsoft Windows web server. And that was something that I had a network guy help me set up, and the rest of the team, our IT team, just wasn't available to help set this up. Between me and my server guy and the wonderful people with the Madcap support, took a total of 6 hours of 2 3-hour phone calls, and boy, you know, at the end, you know, when I was talking to Phil at support, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, we're blood brothers here, because it was very painful process. This is an issue for my particular organization, because just like of our doc team, which is small and stretched, our IT team is also small and stretch the limit. And their priorities are they got to do for the clients first, and everything for client output is their top priority, which it should be. You know, and then other internal processes are here, and doc team is way down here. So I've learned to kind of, if I can't do it myself, it's probably not going to be done in my particular organization. Another problem is with Elasticsearch, if the Windows server is rebooted for whatever, Elasticsearch has to be manually restarted. So you need to keep an eye on that. You need to have access. It's not a, you know, set it and forget it type of thing. And the last con that I've found with Elasticsearch is that it doesn't map to Flare structures like glossaries and whatnot. So if that's important, you'll want to look at that. Okay, and for the prerequisites for Elasticsearch, again, like with Google search, you need to make sure it's frameless and that you're using a top nav or side nav skin. You need to make sure that you're using a Windows web server, which just made, you know, my IT people who love their Apache servers cry because they're like, we don't want to deal with a Windows web server. You need to make sure you have JDK, the Java Development Kit, installed. You must install Elasticsearch specifically from Flare. What Flare does is with all your copies of Flare in the resources file, it has a copy of Elasticsearch. When I initially was trying to set this up, I was like, oh, we're already running Elasticsearch. I just need to tell Flare where to point to so we can communicate. And that was a no-go. Support said, no, sorry, we can't support you on that. So I went and investigated because I knew I had these issues where I wasn't going to get a lot of technical support. Elasticsearch has cloud servers that you can use as a hosted situation. I thought, well, great, I can point to those. Doesn't work that way. And I realized that once I got into Elasticsearch, installed it, that Flare's provided this really nice console, and it's probably why, you know, with other API calls and whatnot that they've tucked in the batch files that make it work. Also, if you have your IT people put the server behind a firewall, you need to make sure that your network admin grants access to port 9200, because that's the port it talks across. It doesn't talk across, you know, the HTTP or HTTPS ports. And so that's an unusual port that they use. So just specify that when you set it up. Okay. Now that we've kind of gone over the pros and cons of each one, I want to examine several features of, you know, search and how they compared between the three of them. So the first structure is, the first thing we'll look at is system structures and how the output appears to your users. Again, this is basic vanilla Flare search. You notice that on the top of the search, you've got your glossary term front and center, you know, of all the other 72 results. This is something that for our organization, we really like, because some of the software products that we provide are, well, we provide for a very niche clientele, and the people that are using our software daily, our customer service representatives, are not really familiar with the industry. So it's nice to have those glossary terms come right up and center as kind of a training thing for these lower paid CSRs. Okay. Now let's look at how it appears in Google. And you notice with the, you know, this is sorted by relevance, and we have an ad, and we actually had a total of 4 ads pop up before we could get to our search results. That is pretty darn ugly. I do not want, you know, and it's something I can't control. It's, and we understand as people, we got to, you know, we are using this very powerful search engine. You know, Google is getting us to where we go. so we put up with ads. It's like having to watch, you know, for the one or two of us here that's still watching broadcast TV, you kind of, you know, do that trade-off where, you know, you got to sit through the commercials so you can get good stuff. This is not something you want in your help system. It's, you know, almost like, well, Google's like, well, yeah, I know everything about you. Now I'm going to sell you stuff. And it's just, you know, when you are trying to instruct your users, it's not something you want. So this is a big, big turnoff for us. Okay, and then let's look at how Elasticsearch does the structure of the search. Like I said, we talked about how it does not respect glossary or index terms, but that's fine. It has a really nice drop down with your search where it is finding the term no matter what in the string, and it's returning pretty accurate results. While all three is when we were doing a lot of terms that I knew that were common in the help, for these basic searches, we were getting all correct returns, but Elasticsearch has that really nice predictive drop down, which is a nice element that it helps you find what you need to find. Next, I want to talk about the speed of how the search engine indexes your data. In this case, Flare was the clear winner with the fact that it, since it automatically indexes everything as it's building and publishing, it comes out all the way indexed, and you can run searches on it. Elasticsearch took longer, about 5-10 seconds for the initial searches. Now, because of the power of Elasticsearch, it will learn, and the more you hammer on Elasticsearch and have your users come in, the longer you're going to get that information. And again, we talked about Google, how initially it takes a long time to index a page. Now, at the end, I'll talk about things that we can maybe boost that speed, help it along. But in a way, you're just kind of locked down to what Google wants, what Google says is what Google does. The next thing is I went and did a dive into Boolean search, because I know a lot of users, some of our users use Boolean search. Flare supports Boolean operators, and this is for the client-based output, not the server-based output. Google also supports Boolean operators, like your ands, your ors, and whatnot. And Google also has a lot of advanced operators that they support. This one, Elasticsearch, failed in this. They have, in their coding, have decided to go away from Boolean operators and do their own queries. And because it's open source, they talk about, yeah, on a developer level, you can write a curl query and match specific terms, but that's all under the cover stuff. That is not something that we want our users, you know, and it won't work for them. So if you have a user base that you know uses Boolean operators to search, that may be a problem. Okay, next thing, we'll go into the analytics. Now, natively, Flare does not have analytics built in. However, you can purchase the Pulse plugin and have that as a value-added thing to your Flare. So that is an option. I also read in the knowledge bases that there were people that had some code that you can stick on your master page so you can access Google Analytics. However, if you're really wanting Google Analytics, you just might as well go with Google Search. because Google Analytics is a beautiful thing. It's free, and it has a wonderful dashboard that you can see what your users are doing and what search results you want. And analytics is just key to make sure to improve your search results. Because if you know what your users are searching for, you can tweak and write as needed. Elasticsearch has wonderful dashboard. I believe this is a customized dashboard that Flare uses, that they've talked with the Elasticsearch API, because I've looked at other dashboards that are native that Elasticsearch uses, a little different. However, it's beautiful. You can get unique user searches, so you can target by the IP address. You can see what overall global searches are done on a particular on your output. And you, to access this, you just go into the search tab of your target, click on launch content services, and there you go. So it's really nice to have those analytics there right in front. You can watch what you're doing. Okay, I want to take a couple minutes and do a deep dive into how Elasticsearch does fuzzy matching on their search. So if you choose to go this option, you understand more fully and can tweak your text accordingly. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, fuzzy match is the ability for your search engine to approximate what is being searched. And it does some guessing. There are four different ways that Elasticsearch does that guessing. There's substitution, which we have an example of, where, you know, the person typed a distributor and used a U, and it, you know, suggests you mean distributor with an I. So it substituted that I for the U and got the correct match. There's insertion, where Elasticsearch finds partial searches and goes and does returns. For example, if we were to have distributor only partly spelled out, you know, D-I-S-T-R-I-B-U-T, it would return results for distributor. There is, Elasticsearch also handles deletion, where letters are missing in your search, and it will fit in what it thinks it does. And then lastly, Elasticsearch does transposition, where when letters are switched, it will return correct results. And I've got an example on the next page here, where, you know, for the word run, you know, we did R-U-N, R-N-U, and it returned correct results for run. Now, the way that Elasticsearch figures out what suggestions to make to your user, Elasticsearch does passes on the strings. And on a string, a search string of 3 to 5 characters, it does a one pass through. So that's how it corrected this RNU to RUN. However, if it is a longer string, if it's a 3 to 5 and you have multiple errors, it will not it won't know how to figure. For example, this RUNI, it fixed the transpose letters, but it couldn't do any auto completion there. It just didn't know what to do because it only did a one pass. However, if you have a string that has greater than 5 characters, it will do 2 passes. So if you have 2 errors, like in this running where we have the NNU switched and the N is missing, it's able to return running as a correct result. Now, Flare does not fuzzy match strings of 1 or 2 characters, like your 2s, ands, whatnot. It will ignore those. Okay. Next thing is I ran word suggestion. Elastic doesn't really do word suggestion. You know, it tried its darnest here, like when I put image and it's like, do you mean make? But it's just pulling words out of its database trying to match it up correctly. You're not going to get really intuitive matching. Flare, like we talked about before, doesn't have that word suggestion unless you add a synonym file. But if you do add a synonym file, you will get, more results to what you want. There are some stemming limitations with Elasticsearch. While Elasticsearch is strong at guessing the end of words, there are some little tweaks that you have to be aware of. For example, if I was looking for settle, and I wanted settlement, and did the autocomplete, I didn't have enough characters, it doesn't know to suggest the right settlement there. This is something, again, that Flare also doesn't do. But Elasticsearch tries to guess your word there. It's also unidirectional, meaning that if we do a search on settlements with the plural, you're not going to get returns suggesting settlement and settle. So that's a problem if you have many different words that are very similar and you want to direct them. But I honestly, for that limitation, I haven't found a big problem, but, your miles may vary. The downside to search the fuzzy search result is that the Elasticsearch just tries its darnest to guess, and it will come up with some really odd guessing. I mean, I did a search for I and B here, and I got 19 results, but a lot of these results are just garbage. I've got this ing ending here. We have IMV, which I like, that's a correct hit. But we have C and V here. We just all over the place. Where Flare was able to pull up, the correct 2 docs with the invoice and I think the inventory thing with the initial word. So you have a lot less results here, but it's cleaner. And this is all dependent upon what user search. Sometimes you want to cast a wider net. Sometimes you want to keep it really narrow. Now we've talked about like the ins and outs and the strengths and weaknesses of each one. I want to just spend a couple minutes, give some hints and tips for you to tweak your content so you can optimize your search the best you can. We went through this last year and optimized our search for Flare to make sure that we were getting correct returns. And a lot of those things is you should limit the title length to 70 characters. Make sure that each one of your topics in your help system has a unique title, and keep most important words in the beginning of your title. You should make sure that keywords in your body text match your heading. So we've got, you know, tree here. So hopefully that Flair can pull this up if they're looking for tree issues. Make sure that you're using keywords, writing subheads. Also, I found out that Flair prioritizes any of your texts that you've tagged with inline tags like bold or italics. That's weighted slightly higher. So if you want those to return in the search result, make sure that you're doing your text there. Okay, for optimizing Google search, there's been a lot written on how to optimize Google search and play in their sandbox correctly. When you are building and outputting for Google search, you need to make sure to generate a sitemap. That will help Google search more quickly. You also need to add a robots text file to, you know, block robots and spiders and only let, you know, those certain ones that you want crawling your pardon me, text to do the returns. Hopefully that brings down some of those bad hits and some of the ads that were popping up. You're still going to get ads, but hopefully they're more relevant and less, you know, off in the wild blue yonder. Another thing you want to be doing on your topics is you add metadata. Because, of course, Google search doesn't respect, like, your TLC, your glossaries and whatnot. Each one of your topic pages you have to, you know, treat as the same page for Google search. And so you have to give it that metadata within the page so Google will prioritize it. And then with optimizing Elasticsearch, when you initially get Elasticsearch going with your search engine, you need to make sure to have, you know, maybe internally, maybe ask your QA department to do a whole bunch of searches, do searches yourself on a whole bunch of various things, because Elasticsearch incorporates that really powerful machine learning, and the results will get better and better at a time. And then you also can look at what you're getting returned and what people are hitting, so you can adjust your topics accordingly and make sure that your users are seeing what they need to see. Now, for our organization, after, you know, doing these tests and whatnot, we are probably going to stick with Flair just because I really like Elasticsearch, and I would eventually like to implement Elasticsearch in our organization. However, I need to make sure that my IT staff is prepared and have the bandwidth to be able to help set it up and support it as needed, and do a little bit of training within our own team, do a little bit of training with IT to make sure to troubleshoot that if we have an issue where Elasticsearch isn't searching, that we can check to have it manually restarted. However, what I think for our organization while we're using Flair is we're going to go through and we're going to, for now, create a synonym file so we can have that power of, you know, suggestibility and controllability. And again, none of these solutions are perfect for every organization. You have to weigh the pros and the cons of each one and discover what's best for you. If you want to do a deep dive, MadCap has a very comprehensive guide on, you know, setup implementation limits in their help. So just go ahead and search for that search guide and take a look. I would very strongly suggest that, you know, as you're implementing one of these search engines. And if you want, you know, go ahead and reach out to me on LinkedIn. Do I have any questions? And understand that I'm a user, not an expert on these systems. If there's something that's too technical, we can always have our wonderful support lounge answer those for you. Yeah. Right.
I'm not familiar with the synonym file. So kind of...
Well, with the synonym file, what you're doing is you're guessing what other words that your users may be putting in.
Right. And that's what I would do.
Right. If it's not included in it. Because there's a lot of terms that you don't want to put in your official index. That people are goofy, right? And they come up with all sorts of weird search terms. So if it's not an official term that you would put in your index, but you know think, and that's where you do some user investigation and see what people are searching. You can get that return.
So we don't use an index at all.
Right.
So we're using the index, I guess, as a synonym.
As your synonym.
Okay.
Yeah. So in that case, and I haven't done a head-to-head against the index because I haven't wanted to create an index versus, you know, the glossary and the synonym file. So that's something maybe that you may want to test with a couple of, you know, terms from your index and see what weights, you know, without. So that's what I would suggest. Yes. Right.
We have some topics that in the normal Flare search now generate a whole ton of hits. Will that menu that tries to predict what you want, will it have a huge long list, or will it
Yeah, it will have a long list. It will bring a lot of returns. And it tries to prioritize those as returns. So you just have to go through and look. But of course, in addition to the drop-down, it does have your main returns where your users can scroll down and get what you want. It will change your, and I've noticed that, like when I was doing binary, I put BIN, it tries to search other stuff. And as I'm refining that search, it knows a little bit better and it's trying to pull the correct information. So again, the only problem is like we talked about before, you can't refine that search with Boolean. Yes. No, and I should clarify that. Your Elasticsearch, you can also use 100% offline. Your Windows Server, that just hosts your Elasticsearch service, and that you need to talk. So you can keep your server and, you know, your help information all behind your firewall, not let it out in the open. But you can keep it, you can keep it in an intranet type of thing.
So what I'm describing is my service instructions.
Right.
Our technicians are working, they don't have any internet access, they have zero access.
Right.
100% right here on this device.
Right.
And so they have to, so are you saying that a lot of the service can be used on this?
No. No. If you have a truly closed system like that, you would want to keep Flare, because you need to do some talking to, and if you have like an internal network, you can keep the web server on that and whatnot. But if you have a truly closed system where it's not talking to anything, you should keep it to Flare. So, yes. I think so. That would be a good question to talk to support, because I have not purchased Pulse or used it at all. So, but that's something that you'd want to look. I would hope so, because part of the problem, of course, with the Google and Elasticsearch, both wonderful, you know, analytics that you get, but you can't close it down. Sure, yeah. And I, again, that's something I would definitely go in and grill them and find out specifically how Pulse works with them. Because if you need a closed system, and I understand, like I said, I've worked with closed systems too, you know, because you want the analytics, but you can't have it talk. And I don't know if Pulse keeps that. Maybe, because I know Pulse, you know, you can put in, it also solicits, you know, information from outside for user base or whatever, but I don't know if it can be contained within a closed system. So, okay, any others? Yes. I believe, you know, I have not done a use case, because I guess what you'd have to do is do a link to an outside file and see if it indexes that. And I don't know if it does or not. That would be an interesting use case to do. I know Elasticsearch can basically search whatever you give it to, but how Flare talks with Elasticsearch, I don't know if it would be bringing in outside URLs. That would be an interesting use case to try. So, anything else? Well, thank you so much for your time. And you know, if you have any questions, feel free to talk to me, you know, or talk to tech support. Thank you so much.